The Reverend Kelly Waters, a United Methodist pastor in South Carolina, has been a friend of mine for almost 30 years. She and I struggled through theology and Bible classes together at Duke Divinity School. We took classes in pastoral care and often sat in the back in pastoral care and in ethics and exchanged notes, snarky notes with each other during the lectures, remarks about the professors, clothing and hair and accent and weird things, because we just were just naughty. We did that all the time. Teachers, take note. Anyway, we were naughty. We just simply were. And we talked a lot. We would go find food and eat, and we're just not really good for each other. Let's put it that way. Well, she is an ordained pastor, ordained minister, elder in the South Carolina Conference now, and we have maintained our friendship through Facebook over the years. I've followed her family, first as she got married, then as she has kids. I've watched the kids grow up. She and I shared an affinity for Star Trek, and so she named her son Jean-Luc, which most of you know is the captain of the Enterprise in the Next Generation. Poor kid. Thanks to Facebook, I've maintained contact with her over the years. Contact has grown over the years. I thank God for that utility. Sometimes horrible things come through it, but sometimes wonderful things. And today, my sermon was slightly adjusted because something she posted this morning. When I got up at the wee crack of dawn, I saw this on my news feed. Three wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and there would have been peace on earth. Can I get an amen? Her commentary on this, and I just laughed, I cackled. I'm sitting there in the bathroom just cackling as I'm reading this. And then I read her commentary, and I thought to myself, you know what? That'll preach. So here's what Kelly said about that. This is her writing. I have seen this all over the internet these days leading up to Epiphany, and it reminds me how easy it is to confuse productivity with worship. I know this spoof is meant tongue-in-cheek, but it prompts me to keep a check on my own devotion because I am prone to get sucked into the productivity black hole. My prayer for Epiphany is, Lord, help me take time for the journey, even if it means I wander onto unfamiliar paths, to be willing to simply to stand aside and witness a miracle without the need to insert myself in it, not to assign value to gifts by my standards, but God's standards, to be content with miracles in messy places, and to be humbly awed enough to bow down and worship the newborn King. Amen. Amen indeed. I love her commentary. It speaks loudly to me today, very loudly. It was almost like she was shouting at me across half a continent, telling me to pay attention to that baby in the manger, that baby in the house, that young child whom the Magi visited. As we discovered in Isaiah today, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our light, and He has come. That's the essence of Epiphany. That is the message of Epiphany. For centuries, Epiphany was the celebration of the incarnation and birth of Jesus. Long before Christmas was celebrated in December, Epiphany was celebrated, a time of recognizing the coming into the world through the incarnation and revelation of the Christ child. The one who was highlighted by the Star of Bethlehem in this story, the one about whom the angels sing in Luke's gospel story of the birth of Jesus, is powerful for us. Now, we can get lost in the details of the story today in Matthew's gospel. We can get caught up in our speculation as to what that star was, what configuration of planets near and within the constellation of Pisces that it might have been. And if we do, we get lost. We're not taking the journey that the Bible, that the early church, that the Christ child himself would have us take. We're getting stuck in the tributaries on the farm to market road, not on the highway of our God. The heavens were speaking of the birth of the Christ child. As I said in Luke, it was a multitude of angels, the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards all. In Matthew's, it's the star in the sky observed by the Eastern astrologers, by the Magi, the wise guys, who came bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And a little aside to the joke that Kelly posted, since when is money not a practical gift? Gold is useful in any society and culture. Each of these gifts, indeed, is symbolic in nature. We have them told to us in the song that we sang just a minute ago, We Three Kings. Gold speaks of his kingship. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. The gift of gold indicates his kingship over us. Frankincense speaks to his nature's God, worthy of worship. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Incense indicates that a deity, that God is near. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God most high, in the original words. Interesting. We don't have this understanding today because we don't do it in Protestant Methodist churches very much, but the use of incense in worship is common in many Christian contexts. And what they would do is they would use incense in various parts of the worship service. They would incense the altar before communion. They'd incense the gospel before reading it. They'd incense the congregation on the processional in and the recessional out, indicating that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. This comes from Hebrew worship practices into the Christian community of faith. Frankincense, incense, used in worship, indicates that God is here. That's the second gift. It's symbolic. Thirdly, myrrh speaks of his nature as sacrifice. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. This Christ, who is king and who is God, is also sacrifice. A sacrifice that we remember and celebrate and receive anew and afresh in its grace that comes to us in the table of the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it, as often as you eat it, in remembrance of me. Remember his death until he comes, Paul said. When we eat and drink, in remembrance of me. This Christ child, this rabbi from Nazareth, this teacher and preacher and healer and deliverer, is king, is God, is sacrifice for us. Our king, our ruler, our leader, our boss, as we said last year. God, the Lord, the creator of the universe, the creative energy, entity, and power, and majesty, and one, and word, according to John's gospel, word, through whom all that we see and know and experience came into existence. The word is the agency through whom God the Father created the entire universe. God. And sacrifice. Gift of self. Self-giving love for us. That we might not fear death. That we might not fear coming into the presence of God. That we might not fear the future, but might have hope in God eternal. Might have hope for tomorrow. Might have hope that this new year of 2019 will be a year that we take with God. Will be a year on a journey with Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I do this in every church I pastor. On New Year's Eve night, just as we were getting to strike midnight, I said to my mother, "We made it through 2018. And after the clock had gonged midnight, I looked at her again and I said, "We made it through 2019. And she said, What? And I said, "Yeah. We got 12 months ahead of us, friends. We've got 12 months of living, praying, worshiping, serving, giving, celebrating, rejoicing and mourning, laughing and crying, and being the body of Christ together." And the United Methodist Church as a denomination is getting ready to move to a special called general conference next month. We're going to talk about that the beginning of February in a special evening, Sunday evening conversation meeting that we're going to have. But for now, I want to say what I'm going to say then and what I'm going to say throughout the rest of the year. This journey that we make together as the body of Christ here in Farmersville, this journey that we make together as the body of Christ called Methodist, child of God, disciple of Christ, Christian, here today, this journey that we make together is a journey of faith, a journey of grace, a journey of hope, a journey of peace, a journey of commitment, a journey of dedication, a journey of grace, reaching out to others with that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, seeking and serving others and sharing the joy of loving Jesus Christ. This whole year, regardless of what happens at any meetings in St. Louis or conference meetings or district meetings, regardless of what may happen, we are the family of God here.
Amen.
And we have been given God's grace to share God's love with all and live by faith and share the faith, the good news of the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus for a broken and hurting world that needs to hear the gospel message, the good news that the Magi came and witnessed and proclaimed with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, King, God, and sacrifice. He gave it all for us. And we are called to give ourselves for others and to witness to the love of God to all, for all, and with all. May we here in 2019 live a life of faith, depend upon God's grace, and reach out to all with the good news of the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to say it with me. We've got 51 Sundays ahead of us. Say it with me now. We made it through 2019. Say that with me. We made it through 2019. Oh. Say it again. We made it through 2019. Again. We made it through 2019. The only way we will make it through 2019 is if we have faith in Jesus Christ, if we trust in His grace, and if we make the journey with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
May we make the journey with Christ. May we join those magi in coming to his birthplace, coming to the house where he was, giving our gifts to Christ, then going out and proclaiming the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.